What I want to share with you in the next two Sundays are things I have learned in the tough times of life. Many of you are my age, or some of you are even older. I can say this almost without a doubt. Most of what I have learned in life has come out of pain, not prosperity. And I love the Psalms because the Psalms quite often start off with a complaint. And then when the psalmist is done, he's praising. And he has reset his perspective. In Psalm 139, it's not a complaint, but there's a progression here that I want you to see with me. If I were to look back on my life since 2011, which is 12 years, I would tell you a couple things. I would tell you I wouldn't choose to go through it again if there was any way to avoid it. But I can also tell you I wouldn't change it. Because the lessons that I have learned and the God that I have come to know is well worth any pain. And so I want you to read with me Psalm 139, and then we're going to come back and we're going to look a little bit deeper at it. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, there are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. And then drop down, if you would, to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would emphasize those things that you want to emphasize this morning. Lord, it's so good to be back with these dear friends. But Lord, while it is good to renew our catch up, the most important person we all need to encounter this morning is you. Father, for as one who grew up in a Christian home, I heard about you all my life, but I didn't meet you till later. Father, we need a fresh visit. Father, this church now is going through a transition, and it's going to be looking, seeking your will for a new pastor. And Father, there will be some grief. There will be some sadness. There will be probably some frustration. But Lord, it can be a time of great learning, great growth. Maybe numerically, but for sure, spiritually. So I pray that you would use those things that are said today to draw us closer to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice the progression here. In verses 1 and 2, David says, "You know everything about me." Have you ever just stopped to think about that? You know everything about me. You know my fears, you know my joys, you know my likes, my dislikes. You know those things I share with no one. You know everything. By the way, I hope you'll be here next week, because next week, having somebody know everything about you may be good, it may be bad. If they don't love you, it's bad. Because if somebody shared everything that God knows about me, you wouldn't have me up here. And if he shared everything that he knows about you, I wouldn't have come. He knows everything about him. That's rather intimidating. You know, when I noticed that for me, growing up in church as I did, we sang, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." We had all those Bible stories about how much Jesus loves us, and I gathered that, but sometime between grade school and high school, I figured out that God was mad. And he was mad at me. Now, I don't know how, and I don't know if that happened to you, but all of a sudden, and you know what? God's going to get you. God's going to get you. One of my youngest son, he's not a bad person, but I wish there were some things that would change. And he shared with us some things about his life and all. And he did so thinking I'd probably be mad at him. And I looked at him and I said, "You may break my heart in a million pieces, but you can't make me not love you." And that's our God. He knows everything about us. Then in verses 3-6, he says, "You surround me." And this is where I really want to come back to in just a little bit. But he says, "You surround me. You're before me. You're behind me." And as we look through Scripture, it's a common theme that God goes ahead of us, that God is over us as an umbrella, if you would. God is under us as a foundation. God goes behind us. The words used here in the ESV is, "He hems me in." And the psalmist says here, "That's more than my mind can handle." I love the portrayal that C.S. Lewis gives us of God. If you've ever read any of his writings, you'll know that when the children were trying to find Aslan the lion, they kept asking this question: "Is he safe?" And Tumnus said, "Oh no. Anyone who thinks Aslan is safe is very silly." See, Aslan represents Christ in his writings. But then Tumnus would say something else. Tumnus would say, "But he is good. He is not safe, but he is good." I have heard many people flippantly over the years say, "The safest place for you to be is in the center of the will of God." I beg to differ. The best place for you to be is in the center of the will of God, but it is anything but safe. God will take you to places where you can't touch the bottom. He'll take you to places where you don't have an answer. While I was here, one of our singles had a daughter who miscarried several kids, and then she thought she was bringing twins to term. They were born at 7 months. One of them died soon after. And they asked me to do the funeral, hoping that the other one would make it. It seemed like she was doing well. And after a couple months in the NICU, she was set to come home in about a week, and then she took a turn. And she passed away. And I was asked to do that funeral. It is the hardest funeral I have ever done. Because we had been praying for the parents who grew up in church that had no taste for God anymore. They were angry at him. And I had prayed, and we as the singles department had prayed so much that God would do something to reach them And we saw the goodness of God in giving them these twins as a way that seemed to be that he might use. And I remember telling God this. God and I have had some interesting conversations in the last few years. You blew a really good chance to be good to somebody and reach them. I meant it. I watched from afar, and I watched how that after a couple of years, something changed, because I was Facebook friends with the daughter and son-in-law. Something changed. They began to praise God for his goodness and his faithfulness, and they began to give testimony to his work in their life, and I thought, what in the world has happened? My wife teaches at Praise Academy, and one year she got her class roster, and one of the boys that they had was in her class. I talked to her mom recently. She lives down near my daughter. And I told her about all what I just told you. And I said, you know, I had one more conversation with God about that. Do you know what it was? I'm sorry. You know what you're doing, and I don't. Please forgive me for doing or wanting to do your job. But the psalmist's response to the fact that God knows everything about him and surrounds him is, where can I go from your presence? Where can I hide? I remember after the death of my daughter's fiance. It wasn't right away, but it was a few. There was some time later. Somebody in our life group at church asked me one day, if you could ask God for one thing, what would it be? I said, without hesitation, to leave me alone for a while. It hurts too much. He knows my limits, but he's got to know that I'm there. I'm there. He says, where can I go from your presence? If I go and try to hide, darkness is light to you. If I go to the highest of heavens, you are there. If I go to the deepest of deeps, you are there. If I go to the grave, you're there. Where can I hide? And oftentimes when we begin to realize who God is and find out that we don't have a control over him, we try to hide. But as verses 13 and 14 tell us, we can either run to him or we can run from him. I've told my daughter many of times with what happened in her life, I said, I'm so glad that you ran to God instead of from him. We all know the temptation. The same sun that softens butter hardens clay. It's not about the sun, it's about what the sun has to work with. And I want God to soften my heart. But verses 16 and 17 tell us that if we run to him, we find out that he loves us. We find out that he loves us. He does not know everything about us so that he can use it against us. He knows everything about us and loves us anyway. We'll talk more about that next week. And when it all comes down to it, if we do it right, we end up saying with the psalmist at the end of the chapter, "Search me, O God. Know me better. Know me better." What does it mean that God surrounds us? What does it really mean? Functionally, I always believed when I preached that there ought to be a "so what." I can feel you, you know, I'm not a great mind or a great theologian, but I can give you enough truth to, that's fine, but how does that affect me Monday morning? What can I do with that through the week? So let's think about this for just a minute. What does it mean that God goes before us? I did, before I came here when I was pastoring Temple Baptist, I did a series of inserts, bulletin inserts on the names of God. And you realize that most of the names of God that we have from Scripture are from interactions that people had with him. It was Hagar, not Abraham's handmaid, who did what Sarah wanted, and then Sarah got mad about it and kicked her out of the house, said, "Get her out of here." She went to the wilderness with her son, I'm sure, probably expecting to die, and it was there that she met Elroy, the God who sees. You meet the God who sees when no one else sees. Israel had a name for Jehovah also, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our banner. One of the things for sure that it means that God goes before us is he fights our battles. He fights our battles. I don't have time to go through all this with you, but looking back, and this is how we see this, we don't always see it when we're going through it, but looking back, I saw how God was preparing my daughter for what was coming. Why she had interest in certain things was beyond me at the time. Why God allowed certain things to happen. But God was preparing her for what was coming. And he does that for all of us. He fights our battle. He's putting a plan in place. He's beginning to lay out the blueprint that will cause him to work all things together for good. My daughter went off to a weekend retreat. She said, "Dad, I just feel compelled, like I need to go." That weekend, she met a lady who had nothing in common with her. 20 years older, had teenagers of her own, from a totally different background, but for some reason, that lady took an interest in my daughter. And it was that dear friend named Kristen, who now is with Jesus, that my daughter, for the first time in a long time, realized she had more than a history, she had a future. Amen. The stories of that came out of this are amazing. So he goes before us, but he also goes with us. It's interesting that the psalmist says here, if I hope that the dark will hide you or hide me from you, you see in the dark. Can I remind you that even when you hope God sees you and you're in the dark, he still sees you? Sometimes we can't see God. Sometimes we lose our bearing. Just like a pilot does who hasn't been trained to fly with instruments, but when a pilot has been trained to fly with instruments, they know to trust the instruments instead of what they see. God has given us this for that. When we can't see him, we can begin to trace his ways. And believe me, he he wants to show himself to us, but it's a little bit like the disciples. He said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them all right now. He goes with us. He never leaves us. He sees us when we can't see him. He gives us strength. He gives us comfort. And he gives us hope. What does that mean that he's over us? He covers us. He protects us. I think we as God's children have to be really careful because God does protect us, doesn't he? Does that mean nothing bad is going to happen to us? I'm very human and I share my humanity. Maybe a little too often, my wife says. But there was a time after my grandson was diagnosed with cancer that I prayed and I said to the Lord, is this how you treat your children? Now let me tell you what, in retrospect, and I knew I was wrong as soon as I said it, believe me, I knew it. God doesn't owe me anything. But sometimes through the pain of life, I find myself like a toddler who's been picked up by their parents and isn't being held close by Heavenly Father, and I'm just pounding. And he says, keep pounding, I can take it. You'll come to understand later on. He goes under us. He is our foundation. But as we close, I want you to think about this. He also goes behind us. This is the one that really, I remember as a kid, and in the old King James, if you get your concordance out and you look up this word, R-E-R-E-W-A-R-D, rearward. Quite often God tells Israel, he said, I'll be your rearward. Let me just take you through a story that you know and show you what he's talking about. When Israel leaves the land of Egypt, they're headed out. They come to the Red Sea. What's leading them? It's a pillar of fire, right? Pillar of fire is leading them. They're following that pillar of fire. They're following Moses. And then they come to the Red Sea. And it's like, Moses, this wasn't in the plan. Pharaoh's behind them, coming after them. They see the chariots. They see something bigger than they can handle. Now, what does God do after he tells Moses to part the waters, and Moses does what God says, and God parts the waters? You ever think about the fact they didn't sink in mud when they were crossing? It's a fairly good miracle of its own, right? Some place that's been underwater for as long as you know, normally you'd have to give it time to dry, but God says, no, we'll speed that up. And then God takes his presence and goes around behind them and becomes a pillar of cloud to separate between them and Pharaoh while they go across. This is where we live. We try to plan ahead. We try to do those things that will make life work, but we live in the aftermath, don't we? We're always responding. We're always trying to figure things out after the fact. Well, let me tell you what God did for Israel there when he went behind them. He was still protecting them. He said, I got you back. You ever think about how blessed it is that God has your back? And in this psalm, he says all these things, and he said, and when I awake in the morning, I awake and you are still there. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's our protection. But there are some other things that I just want to sow some seeds to give you something to think about. What are the other things that follow us? Shame. Consequences. Forgiveness. God takes great joy in redemption. Forgiving. It's after the fact that God ties up all those loose ends that he started when he was out in front, making it all work together for good. After these 12 years, I can tell you that the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, has tremendous meaning. God has been so, so faithful. And if we pay attention and we continue to make memorials, Those are places we can visit to remind ourselves of what he's doing and where we've been. You know, I was reading through the book of John a few years back and doing it pretty quickly, and I saw a phrase that kept coming up. Here's the phrase: then his disciples believed in him. Well, wait a minute. He called Matthew, he called, you know, all the Philip, he called them all in different times, and they were his traveling band, but these things kept happening as they're walking with Jesus. And he says, then his disciples believed in him. So when did they believe in him? Every time. And you know, our lives are a series of decisions to again believe. He starts the work. He does the work. But he invites us to continue to discover him and discover that he is a faithful. And can I tell you that at First Baptist Church of Lithia Springs, he's the same God for you. Amen. As you now search for your pastor. He's already got things moving already. He's ahead of you. You just have to follow. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for how good you are. Thank you that you surround us. Thank you that you go before us. You come behind us. And sometimes when you come behind us, you're there cleaning up our messes. You're surely there covering our shame. You're there turning things to good that weren't good before. Father, we ask that for each of us individually, we'll come to know you even more. As is recorded for us in Scripture, he said, I have heard of you, but now my eye sees you. Lord, we can only live on secondhand information so long. We have to have a meeting of our own. Father, I pray that we would each be developing stories and testimonies of your faithfulness, that we can share with others the hope and the healing that you have given to us, that we can be there to share with others. Thank you that you love us.